Dungeons and Daddies, not a BDSM podcast, is hitting the road this summer from May 31st through June 14th. We're doing part two of our U.S. live tour.
Whoa. I came up with a name for this one.
Yeah,
it's
called
the Areas Tour.
Kind of
similar.
Dungeons and Daddies, the Areas Tour, feat Taylor Swift. We're hitting the road again. Midwest and East Coast dates on sale. Tickets are available now. We're starting up in St. Paul, Minnesota. We're going to Milwaukee, Chicago, Indianapolis, Detroit, Pelham, Tennessee, Atlanta, New York, Philadelphia, and Boston.
Wow.
More info on our website, dungeonsanddaddies.com/live.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Dungeons and Dice is brought to you this week by Chime Ding Dong.
What is there? Ding. Hello? Help.
It's me, Beth, here to motivate you about budgeting your savings.
Beth, where are you right now?
I don't know.
What do you need?
Oh, it's so dark.
What did you hear on the way?
I heard a chime.
A chime?
Did that chime checking account tell you that what you heard? You get features like fee-free overdraft up to $200 to spot me. You're getting paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit.
Yes, but I'm still so scared.
Did you drive past good customer service?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you drive past Chime allowing you to overdraft up to $200 with no fees?
That's true.
And let me ask you this. Did you drive past a financial institution without a sense of community? That's right.
Yeah.
And
there
where
are some
has
banks
that,
out there.
If that's the case, then that means Beth is definitely not heading towards Chime, which is a financial institution with a sense of community. 60,000 fee-free ATMs, no monthly fees or maintenance fees. To date, Chime has spotted members. This is their fee-free overdraft up to $200. They've spotted members over $20 billion.
Wait, what?
Well, I mean, you have to. The point is that when you have a direct deposit, you know, they know it's coming, so sometimes, you know, the timing for your bills and stuff gets weird,
okay.
You know?
Okay.
Eligible members get complimentary boosts to increase a friend's spot me limit, and when you give a boost, they can boost you back to raise your limit, just like in Mario Kart. Set up a direct deposit into your Chime account. After qualifying direct deposit of $200 or more, Chime will notify you to enroll in Spot Me. With an activated debit card, Chime will spot you up to your limit when you exceed your balance. Your next direct deposit is applied to your negative balance. Chime never charges fees or interest for using Spot Me. Take more control of your finances and say goodbye to monthly fees. Open your account in minutes at chime.com/daddies. That's chime.com/daddies. Chime. Feels like progress. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank NA or Stride Bank NA members FDIC. Spot Me eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Boosts are available to eligible Chime members enrolled in Spot Me and are subject to monthly limits. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
I have to tell you about this game-changing product I use before a night out with drinks. It is called ZBiotics. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's this byproduct, not dehydration, that is to blame for your rough next day. ZBiotics produces an enzyme to break this product down. Just remember to make ZBiotics your first drink of the night. Drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. I was going to a fancy dinner. One of those ones where they pair wine with stuff, and I always feel left out. It's just, you know, it's like you're spending so much money in the first place, and you're like, well, you know, they did spend all this time to make the wine, like, a whole thing, and I'd like that. I'd like to try that. The vision of this artiste in the kitchen. However, I have some of this product for free. They sent it to us, so I tried it before this social outing, and I suffered not from my usual ill effects. I still think, though, I overpaid. Like, on the whole, it just is a lot of money for one meal, you know? That's all I'm saying. Vacations, weddings, birthdays, and reunions. Oh my, there's so much going on! Get the most out of your spring plans by stocking up on pre-alcohol now. Go to zbiotics.com/dungeons to get 15% off your first order when you use Dungeons at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to zbiotics.com/dungeons and use the code Dungeons at checkout for 50% off. Thank you, ZBiotics, for sponsoring this episode and our good times.
You're about to hear episode one of an ongoing series we're doing on our Patreon entitled Kingdom Dad Monster, where we play Matt's copy of the cult classic survival horror board game Kingdom Death Monster. It's like Dark Souls meets Stardew Valley with a healthy dose of cannibalism, a little settlement building, a little crunchy combat and roleplay, and a whole lot of... well, something. I mean, you'll see. If you head on over to patreon.com/dungeonsanddads, you can access the visual accompaniment for this episode. Miniature painter nerds love this game because of the detailed monsters they get to paint. And Matt, of course, has painted all the monsters and minis we use, and his deft brushwork must be seen to be believed. Episodes 2 and 3 are available now on our Patreon. If you want to keep on listening, and new episodes of Kingdom Dad Monster are showing up every month on the Patreon. It's not just that. It's a whole bunch of other bonus series and extra audio and video content on there. Patreon supporters also get ad-free episodes too, and everyone talks about the cool content. Nobody talks about the ad-free episodes, just saying. The Patreon has been a great place for us to experiment with different RPG systems, so if you find yourself hankering for more, sate your appetite by supporting us directly on patreon.com/dungeonsanddads. Also, if you haven't heard, we're going on tour once again this summer covering the Midwest and the East Coast. Join us for Dungeons and Daddies The Areas Tour, feat Taylor Swift, where the season one dads once again embark on randomized shenanigans, a new scenario every night, no script, no planning. Bring your seats to the full and upright position and lock and stow away your tray tables, because we're flying by the seat of our pants. Tickets and more at dungeonsanddads.com. Sit back and enjoy episode one of Kingdom Dad Monster.
Hey everybody, welcome to the first episode, maybe the only episode, this is a little bit of an experiment, so we'll see, of Kingdom Dad Monster, where the four boys here are going to play a board game called Kingdom Death Monster. Not Kingdom Dad Monster, it's called Kingdom Death Monster.
Just a little fun flavor we like to impart from time to time.
It's just contractually, I think we have to put dad in everything, so it's just Kingdom Dad Monster.
It's a branding thing.
It's a branding thing.
For those of you who don't know, Kingdom Death Monster is... a very large, weird, niche board game that started on Kickstarter, broke all these records, but the most important thing to know is that Matt Mercer loves it. That's right. The better Matt loves Kingdom Death Monster
as
well.
Matt tested, Matt approved.
Yes, both Matts, both important Matts in the world love it.
Matt Gaetz also loves it, weirdly.
So, I was racing to find a bad another Matt, and then he beat me to the punch.
We've played this game a few times before. We love it. We're hoping that's going to be interesting to listen to.
We're hoping that's going to be so fun to listen to, it'll force us to finally complete this fucking campaign.
Just like Dungeons & Daddies made us play Dungeons & Dragons.
Exactly. But just a quick overview of the type of game it is.
Hit it with the setting first. Like, it's completely dark except for one source of light.
That's right. What is the setting, Anthony?
We're in a world of darkness. Completely filled with horrors beyond our comprehension.
Yes.
Except for one lantern that we have amongst the four of us.
And the only thing that we can see, the glimmer of the lantern, the only thing it illuminates is an infinite floor of stone faces, human faces, as the entire world of Kingdom Death Monster.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at the board now. There's a bunch of little fucking faces.
So it's kind of like a weird dark fantasy. It kind of reminds me a little bit of like kind of Dark Souls vibes a little bit.
If you combine Dark Souls with Monster Hunter with Civilization, that's what you get.
Yes. So we are going to play kind of a civilization. So we will be kind of bouncing around between characters. But this civilization, your only means of survival is going on the hunt of these strange, dangerous
monsters. So we have to leave the
monsters.
Safety of the nice
exactly.
light, the face light.
The face light, exactly. Leave the light and go into the dark and find monsters to kill and consume and eat and
now,
live.
Now, Matt, these monsters.
Yes.
How, from a scale of 1 to 10, how freaky are they?
Okay, so this is the real love of Kingdom Death Monster I have. We will definitely show pictures and stuff when we post this. The first monster you fight is a lion. It's white. It's a little bit weird, but the monster's
like it's a Caucasian monster.
Caucasian monster. It's pretty weird. The monster design in Kingdom Death Monster is truly unhinged.
Picture Dark Souls with more fingers and hands coming out of
the
orifices.
Creatures in Dark Souls, if they saw the monsters in Kingdom Death Monster, would run away scared of the monsters.
You ever
seen
nipples and been like, there should be fingers coming out of
fingers
these.
And teeth.
The creator of Kingdom Death Monster, our Lord and Savior Adam Poots, is truly an unhinged genius, and he puts his fetishes and his loves and
he puts his whole heart on his sleeve
out there, and clearly he is aroused, scared
hand
of
stuff.
Hands, because hands will just appear on monsters coming out of their butts, coming out of their eyes. Everything will be hands.
It's like the Final Fantasy character designer who fucking puts buckles on everything. He's like that, but with fingers.
It's also the most like sexual monster design since like Alien. Like the beauty of Alien is like
psychosexual,
but that he has the same sort of like. There's genitals on all these monsters.
It's not like they have genitals, but like they are made out of genitals.
They're made out of genitals.
Like they're sentient penises and boobs. And
we'll post pictures pictures of these miniatures because Matt has, of course, taken to painting these miniatures. This has been like an ongoing project for you because they keep coming out with expansions. There's more miniatures. It's a horny, weird game. We've always loved it when we've played it, but we've never been able to get through such a campaign.
The strength of it, hopefully, that will come through in this is the emergent storytelling, both in the combat, but in the world building and the settlement phase. It's just throwing out a lot of trolley problems and a lot of weird decisions you make as a group.
Right.
And the humor coincides with the horror. It's the best board game I've ever played in terms of emergency.
Because you're not just determining like how your civilization builds equipment and stuff. You're also determining like, is it okay to eat people? Yeah. Is it okay to like murder people that are weak?
What do you do with your dead?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we bury them? Do we consume them? Or do we have food? We don't know. But like, honestly, the game will give you a lot of options.
Yeah.
And it has ramifications down the line.
All right. So we've talked about it enough.
Okay.
Now, chapter one.
Once upon a time, there was a... I've been reading so many baby books to my...
No, get the serious
voice. Give me the fucking gravitas, dude.
Once upon a time...
There we go.
There was a place of carved stone faces. A man with a lantern lay sleeping a dreamless sleep. The man knew nothing. Turn the page. One day, the man woke up. He rubbed the dried ink caked over his eyes and opened them. Around him, he saw other people stirring. And beyond... A horizon of unbroken darkness.
Ooh. Yeah, I forgot we have ink on our eyes for some reason.
It's very cool.
A woman approached the man with the lantern. Her soft hand reached out to him. They had no words. They were a mystery to each other. Suddenly a monster emerged from the darkness, its eyes wild with hunger and attacked!
Oh no.
The people were no match for the monster. It tore their flesh and crushed their bones between its teeth. Some it devoured whole. It
devoured their holes.
Overcome with terror and grief.
Come.
The man with the lantern collapsed to the ground. Cold stone noses pushed into his side. There was no escape. But the man did not want to die. Desperately grasping at the cold stone faces, he felt a crack and tore at it with all his might.
Yeah, he did.
A piece of stone came free. It was sharp and deadly. Whoa, this guy's got crazy eyes on this page.
Yeah, no.
The man with the lantern scrambled to his feet, his weapon clenched in his fist. He took a deep breath and roared into the darkness. Somewhere in the place of stone faces, nameless men and women stand together.
Women.
They have nothing but a need to survive and a lantern to light their struggle.
Hell yeah.
All right.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's right. So all we have, so now we are these four survivors that have just... awaken with no words, and we are on this board, and there is in front of us a white lion, and the only weapon we have is a lantern in our hands and fragments of stone faces that we have that are sharpened like knives, and that's all we got.
Okay.
Cool. Let's kill this lion.
I think the lion attacks first.
Yeah. Anytime this game wants to do something mean or nice, it almost always chooses the mean things.
Yes.
Like D&D has the rule of cool. Like whatever's coolest wins. This game, I think it's literally like whatever's meanest to the players. That's what you do.
Also, to paint a picture of the board, it's like a big grid board. There's roughly 12,000 little doodads and googas we got to keep track of. There's little chips and tokens.
Let's take a picture of this setup.
Matt has these four big, like they look like cardboard mixing boards. They've got knobs on them.
They're balsa wood boards to cut down a lot of the bookkeeping because the game's got a lot of bookkeeping. Oh, here's the first thing we do. Let's paint a picture is that we are these survivors. We have our boards in front of us. We must give these survivors names and choose who we are.
Okay.
I want to be this cool girl right here.
Okay. What's her name?
Mama Daddy.
Mama Daddy.
Mama Daddy.
When you name your character, you get a survival point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Ooh.
Instantly. Like, just simply having the identity of who you are gives you a bit of a will to survive. Well, what's all your names?
I'm going to be this one, and they're going to be called Beth.
Beth's gonna
Kingdom
die.
Beth Monster.
Kingdom Beth. Oh, shit, that's
it's
better.
Kingdom Beth Monster. She says she might want to come and like narrate and stuff.
My guy. Mm-hmm. It's called Bufo.
Bufo?
Bufo. Three O's.
Bufo?
Bufo.
Wait, B-O-O-O-O?
B-O-O-F-O.
Okay.
Yeah.
So not three O's and F-O.
And this is my guy, Daddy Mama.
D-A-D-I.
I feel like we got that from like we pointed, like we were learning language and I'm like, Mama. And you're like, Daddy. I'm like, Mama, Daddy.
Dude, no
daddy,
joke.
Mama.
I'm
like, Beth.
Me, Bufo. What up, boys? I'm trying to teach Andy to say Dada right now, and I will literally look him straight in the eyes and go, Dad. And he goes, Mama. It's like he's just like,
damn,
I don't
dude.
Care. I don't care. Where's mom?
I'm going to spin this monster to see
who
makes out with it.
Matt is spinning it and it's looking at Will's
Daddy Mama.
Daddy Mama. Okay, so the monster does its first attack. I will draw its AI card. That's right. This game uses AI
That's
art.
That's right. This game.
No.
AI card. This is a plagiarism video game.
This is the opposite of AI art. This is one insane genius constantly making everything. The monster is going to lunge at you and attack, and here's how it is going to damage you, Will. It is going to roll two dice.
Oh, by the way, yeah, there's dice involved.
Oh, yeah. It's crunchy
dice.
Oh,
yeah, there's dice.
Don't worry. And however crunchy you think it is when this is edited, just know there's about 5,000 more dice that we edited out. This is a crunchy dice game. They both are going to hit you.
Wait, Matt, do I get interrupted with a reaction? Can I? Is there anything I can do?
I turn into a bird.
Just to give a general idea of how the gameplay goes, is that every attack, you roll a certain number of D10s, and then if that D10 gets a certain amount, it counts as a wound towards us players. Mm-hmm. What will be important as time goes on, where a lot of the thematic fun of this comes, is that Will is going to roll dice that have little symbols that represent parts of our bodies. That's where we put our armors, our head, our feet, and whatnot. And he can't decide, like, the damage goes to those parts of the body. And as that part of the body gets more damaged, like, things will happen. Like, you will lose limbs.
Yikes.
You will throw up your stomach. You will not be able to eat anymore. Like, things will happen as it goes.
So what do I do?
So this monster did two wounds on you. So now you are going to roll two dice.
I roll my wound dice.
To see where they hit.
I rolled legs and body.
Okay. So now two of these did one damage each. So what you're going to do is you're going to decide. I mean, this case doesn't matter because each one is one damage. So for your body, we all came with a piece of cloth, which is one damage. So you can protect your body with, you will take no damage to your body.
So now I'm naked.
Oh, you're right. That's for waist.
It's for waist. We're wearing loincloths.
Never mind. So both your body and your legs take light damage.
Okay. So do I check? It says like.
Use your little dials and just turn your body and your leg to L for light.
Take some L's.
Once you've lost all your armor, you eventually then do light damage to that body part and then heavy damage. If you take more than heavy damage, you start getting severe wounds, which we roll on a big table and crazy stuff happens to your body.
Right.
Okay. Now, each of us can go.
Ow!
Ow!
I got bit. Now does Daddy Mama get to wreak his vengeance on the
Daddy Mama?
Right, what do I do?
Okay, so you're going to roll dice based off of, the only weapon you have is your Founding Stone. Mm-hmm. And the Founding Stone has two speeds. So that means you roll two dice. And then every seven or above will count as a hit.
Okay, I roll.
One and a four.
One and a four.
No hits.
Okay, I'm going to go next. I am going to move, what's our distance?
Five.
Five. One, two, three, four, five, six. I'm going to do the action where I'm going to actually throw away my Founding Stone as a missile. I will no longer have it because I'm going to assume that we'll get weapons later and I want to fight this and kill this thing quickly.
And you can sling this stone from anywhere on the board.
Anywhere on the board. There's one automatic hit that inflicts a critical wound. So, boom.
You lose the stone forever.
I throw the stone. It's gone forever. I shall roll a hit location and I get a critical hit automatically. I hit its soft belly. A debilitating blow to the soft belly. Critical wound! Gain one random line resource.
Oh.
This is not a game for people who don't think you should kill animals.
This is not a vegan game.
We slowly consume all the elements of this creature.
Can you sort on BoardGameGeek by vegan? Like vegan games? Do they have those?
No. I've seen guides for like, here's how to play Minecraft as a vegan, and those are kind of fun.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, I got a lion claw. It is a razor sharp retractable claw. We will make weapons with that later. And because it was a critical wound, the persistent injury organ trail. The white lion's intestines hang from the wound on its gut, dragging on the floor. At the start of every monster turn before it draws an AI card, roll 1d10. On a result of one, the monster suffers a wound. So it can constantly just keep getting hurt. Now, the way this game works that I think is really fascinating is that you have this deck that's its AI deck, which decides all the moves it does. When you do a wound, there's no wound tracker. The wound tracker is you remove an AI card. So you're not only wounding it, you're reducing the number of actions it has, almost like the creature is getting dumber and more frantic and angrier. Mm, so as the game goes on, it has the ability to do less and less things. So,
and that's its HP. When the deck is gone, it's dead.
Exactly. So this creature started with 8 AI cards. So once we do 8 wounds, it will die.
Okay.
Interesting.
I can go next. I'm just going to move up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Give me a little color when you say that.
So I'm going to slink like in the Duran Duran Hungry Like the Wolf video. I'm going to get on all hands and knees because I'm a sexy character. Well, I'm Beth. So I'm the Beth slink up behind this creature whose butt is
to
me.
You know, like kind of anxiously like moving your hands around like and talking.
Yeah, meeting Sour Patch Kids and doing all the classic Beth stuff.
Beth classic humor. Beth moves.
And I'm going to get behind him and go, you hate to see it.
My move, I too will do the same thing, but like less cool.
Like more like Bofa.
Like Bofa. No, Bufa.
Bufa.
All right. Bufo. Bufo.
Bufo these nuts.
First, before the creature even attacks, we will roll its dice to see if his intestines like just drag on the floor and hurt itself. It did not.
So
got two. He's angry, but nothing happened there. Chomp. Pick a target. Facing. It's facing you. Will is facing Daddy Mama, so it's going to attack you again. Move and attack. So it's going to roll one die. It will hit on a 2+.
Hey!
It missed! Hey. It missed!
Never, never mind! One.
Never mind! Hey! It would have been bad because it would have only hit your head.
No, that seems like part of your body you need.
Yes, you should freak it.
Oh, and just if it's not clear, our characters can die permanently in this game, and you can lose this campaign permanently.
Yeah, you can actually lose this campaign in the prologue, theoretically. The game is super hard and exciting at all times.
It's true.
It's our turn.
All right, so now
I mean, you're right in front of me. You might as well go, yeah.
I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you.
Will rolls his D10. He rolls a 9.
Oh, nine.
So one hit. One hit. One hit.
Nice.
So now you're going
a
to...
A 9 and a 6.
So now, this is our first actual normal attack on it. However many hits you got, I roll that many on his hit location.
Okay.
And then you're going to, per hit location, you're going to roll against his toughness. So his toughness is 6, and your dagger has 1. So what will happen is you will roll a die, you'll add 1 to it, and if it hits 6 or above, it will hit the
location. So basically, just so you understand the phasing of it, your first roll is to determine if you hit.
Yes.
The next roll is to determine how much damage you do to what parts.
Yes. Okay. So you are attacking the beast's back, and there's a failure. So if you do not damage it, something will happen to it.
Cheesy Pete's.
1. So no, nothing
failure,
happened.
Failure. Full move. So now the monster is going to sprint at you, pick you up.
What the fuck?
Slam you against the wall.
What? What wall?
And
I
you
thought
suffer,
it was an infinite blackness and you out
suffer,
there. What wall?
And you suffer 1 damage.
Man.
To your butt.
To your butt. No, you're going to roll a die. See where it hits you.
My body again.
So your body's already heavy. So if you get hit in the body again, you're definitely going to like...
And it's when you get hit with a heavy attack, then you get knocked prone, right?
Yes, but he's already knocked
prone.
Yes.
Great.
So there you go, Will.
Daddy, mama, no.
Yep, daddy,
mama.
Promise
we're all
daddy,
too
mama.
Far away.
And now with this dude charging away, yeah, and then we're a full turn from being able to do any damage to it.
Well, you guys can throw your stone like I did, like a cool guy.
Ew.
All right, I move 5.
That's it.
I move 5.
We're like
we're
on
surrounding
the creature.
We're
on the other side
it's all strategic.
Of the room here. And can I
Freddy
throw, can I throw a founding stone?
Yeah, you could. You want to throw it?
I'm going to throw my founding stone.
Boom.
So that's an automatic hit from anywhere on the board, and I lose this to the game box.
Yep, it's gone forever.
And
now we can only fight with our fists. Clever.
That feels stupid because aren't there a bunch of stones everywhere? Can you pick up another stone?
No, but
this
is sharpened.
The founding stone.
You'll get better weapons quickly. Unfortunately, this is a trap. The attacker is caught in the white lion's ruse and is savagely mauled. The attacker is doomed.
What?
Perform.
What?
You may not spend survival until this card is resolved.
What?
So you can't do a dodge. Yes. Okay. So you're going to get a basic attack against you, Freddy.
But it's not even next to him.
Yeah, it's going to do a basic attack, which means it's going to move.
Oh, at least it's off of me.
Yeah, 6. Where are you, Freddy?
I'm behind it.
Nice.
Right.
Oh, if you're right on his butt, it can't see you.
Okay.
Just 2 spaces behind its butt.
Okay.
All right, Freddy's attacking you.
Its vision is based on asses.
7 and a 2.
It's on a 2+, so both of them
both
hit
of
you.
Them hit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Whatever.
So roll 2 location die.
Those are my... You just reached into my fingers.
Belt,
to get those.
Good. You defend, and your head.
Here. My waist and my head are targeted now.
So your waist, you
but
have
your
one...
Your waist has a loincloth.
Yeah, so you're okay, but your head only
so
has...
So now let me ask you this. The loincloth, do I lose 1 from the loincloth?
Yeah. Put your belt at 1, and now you reduce it to 0.
I take 1 damage that is absorbed by my waist, my loincloth.
But then he hits your head.
Dude, you know what I think
how
it is, though?
How much damage would a loincloth really absorb?
No, but think about this. This is the way I think about it. You ever do that thing where you, like, lean forward with a cloth, and it's like a curtain, and then you can stop, like, paintballs and BBs? Because it's, like, just a little bit. You laugh, but this is how Japanese archers would protect themselves when fleeing the battlefield. They would
from
have, like,
a lion's maw?
I imagine he swipes at you, and, like, his claws get, like, stuck in the cloth for a second. You
dude,
kind of
and
back
you
away.
See my ding dong, dude. And
you're ding
and then after the
now,
lion
dude.
Sees my ding dong, it's like, gotta go for the head.
He's so, too strong down there.
Too strong.
And you don't have any light damage to your head. You only have heavy damage, so you instantly get knocked prone.
What?
It would be so great if we just died in the prologue.
Such an easy campaign.
Yeah.
Okay. No, that was even the creature's turn.
That was Freddy's turn.
That was Freddy's turn.
And Freddy went last.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was
heavy
the creature's turn.
That's the creature's turn.
At the very least, it means the two of you are not active targets because you're prone.
It won't act.
It's
going to
come after Matarai.
Oh, prone attack.
It mauls any prone player.
It does do that shit. Pick the closest.
Is he going to run again?
Pick the closest downed survivor.
God damn it! You're kidding.
Nope.
Okay, what happened?
So I was going to attack you on a 2 or plus.
Matt rolls. He gets a
7.
That's a hit.
So 1 damage against you, Freddy.
So that hits my body. I'm gonna take light damage to my body, yes. But what happened?
After damage, god damn it, dude. The white lion isolates its prey. Full move the white lion away from all the other survivors. Place the target. So it literally grabbed you in its mouth and it's running away with you.
Okay, cool. Wait, did you check if it's entrails or dragging?
Yeah, roll that entrail.
You're right.
As it runs away, we're going to check the entrails.
Nope, nope, entrails.
No, the guts are
you
all
guys got to throw your fucking shit. You got to throw your shit.
I don't know if they should. Last time they climbed through it, I got double fucked.
Okay, is it my turn?
Yeah, but there's only going to be one trap. We can choose the order.
Well, you got to get the fuck up,
I get up? Or do I have to fucking roll shit to fucking stand on my own?
I think you just spend your full move to stand
yeah.
up.
Yeah,
right?
I think you just spend your full moon to get up.
Your full moon?
My full moon. All right, I will throw my thing at it.
Hell yeah.
Will
throws
his
stones. Stones. We're going to get cool
yeah! Spend to sling the stone from anywhere. Activate this card, one fucking
yeah, it's gone.
Critical.
It's just you get one yeah, full right. crit.
Will throws the stone turn.
You hit its fuzzy groin. You hit the monster right in the ding dong. That is the actual phrasing.
It
you
really
hit
does.
The monster right in the ding dong. Critical wound! We gain one lion testicle from the resources.
Yeah, baby!
Persistent injury. Lost ding dong. Your attack destroys the lion's healthy genitals. The monster is livid. The white lion gains +1 damage token. The attacker permanently gains the priority target.
Oh, no!
The white lion will attack it until it is dead. So the white lion
is only
going after you. Because you destroyed...
Because you threw a rock and sliced his dick off.
Ding dong.
Hell yeah. All right, we got testicles and we got
a little fucking prairie oyster out of it.
How does Daddy Mama feel about that?
Daddy Mama
proud.
Is like dibs on the nards.
Oh, it's good. We can kite because it has to walk to you.
Yes, it does.
Hell yeah. I'll go ahead and move.
Kiting to zone.
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to get there.
Out there.
I'm going to go ahead and just get right next to Will. Mama Daddy's going to go right next to Daddy Mama.
Oh, yes, the Mama Daddy Daddy Mama Mecha Hybrid.
I might as well do the same thing because he's just going to come straight for you.
Yeah.
3, 4, 5.
So now... so now Anthony is...
You'd probably be like there so that it moves.
Oh, yeah. So Anthony is now next to Matt and Will. My character is far away, halfway across the board.
But you can pop up and attack it because you're right next to it.
I'm going to pop up and attack it.
We got a real Red Rover game going on.
And now
on
you
here.
Do your fist, which are
I'm
on
using that. Unarmed combat, fist and tooth. I roll 2 dice for that.
Fist
and I love that it says pluck. Tooth, like you bite.
8 Ooh, and a 6, one hit.
Now you got to roll a 6 or above. You're attacking its ribs.
I'm attacking its ribs.
Oh, wait, you do damage.
And hey, I roll a crit.
A crit? Seriously?
Yeah, crit.
Hell yeah. Okay, wound. If the attacker has +3 understanding, no.
No.
The sound
you think
of cracking.
Goofo has +3 anything?
No,
dude?
But if your character was smarter, because we gain understanding as the game goes on, the sound of cracking ribs encourages you because you understand its ribs are breaking. And you get +survival.
Oh, interesting.
Critical hit. The force of the blow breaks the white lion's ribs, weakening it. And now has -1 toughness. So now we only have to roll a 5 to hit it.
Hey.
The description for the lion testes on the card also just says, a hefty pair of nuts.
I like this game's got a cheeky little sense of
humor. It really does. It does. It has a little cheeky
sense of
humor.
It's the darkest, most berserk-esque like art style. And then every once in a while says things like, you hit him in the ding-dong.
Which, you know what I appreciate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? How do you think they localize the word ding-dong?
I don't know if this game is localized.
So we've done 3 damage to it, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Okay. So
not even halfway done.
Not even halfway done. Now it is the lion's turn. As we know, it only will attack Will now because Will destroyed its testicles. Okay, so I pulled Enrage. What this is actually a new stat that is going to be added to the lion. So this lion's pissed off. Makes sense. You destroyed his testicles. Now the lion gets +1 damage per monster level, so it's +2 damage now. When survivor suffers any dismembered severe injury or is killed, discard Enrage. So essentially, he's no longer angry if one of us is killed.
Cool.
Maul, pick target. Victim of grab last round. It should be Freddy, but it's so angry at you, it's only going for you. It's going to move towards Will, but it's not going to reach Will. It is just blindly angry, running halfway between Freddy and the three of us.
It's about 3 spaces away from that group over there.
Luckily, it's within distance of all of us.
I'll go.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right. Daddy Mama.
You should just run, right? Kite it. Kite
no.
it away.
No.
What? You're going?
Daddy Mama's going for it. Daddy Mama raises his loincloth to taunt the, the lion.
Look what
and then,
I
like,
got.
When Bruce Lee does the little, like, beckon forth thing. And then I'm just going to run at it and beat the shit out of this thing.
With your fist?
Yeah.
Okay, run towards it.
Will has moved to the side, to the left-hand side of the lion.
Okay, so. Now I'm going to use tooth and I'm going to fist him.
With tooth and nail. All
right.
You swung at it and missed.
Swing and a miss.
Yeah, so for your stone is 7 or above is a hit.
I see.
Your tooth is
but
only
8 but then we debuff it with something?
That's for when you're, after you've hit it, to the wound.
After it.
There's, there's hitting it and there's wounding it. It's 2 separate things. That is the most complicated thing about this game.
But it is +2 damage, so now every time it hits one of us, it's going to instantly cause a severe injury.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
So our creature...
Sounds like a shooter run.
Our characters are going to start getting mauled completely. Okay, I'm going to move and swing.
Matt moves in front of the lion.
I also don't have any weapon. I missed.
He misses.
All right.
Okay.
Fuck. I'll do that and hopefully hit because I still have my weapon.
One, you got an 8, didn't you?
I'm gonna get a 6 and a 6, 1.
Sorry. All
right, I'm gonna attack.
You still have your weapon.
I still have my weapon. So I'm gonna roll. I have to get a 7 or above, and I got a 9 and a 10.
A 10.
Oh, two hits. Yeah, baby.
Nice. Nice. You are going to attack its beast's maw and its beast scapular deltoid. So, what one do you want to hit first?
The deltoid.
The deltoid.
The
okay.
Scapular deltoid.
So it's minus 1 toughness, and so now you only have to hit a 5.
Okay.
Anthony rolling again on D10.
Just one D10.
Four,
right?
You need a 4 or above.
It's a 4 and above. He hits a 3. Oh, that's a miss. Narrow miss.
Oh, no. What happens on a fail?
It's going to sprint forward.
How? He's blocked in.
It's failure. Yeah, it's going to pick me
it's
up.
Bigger
it's
bigger than
it's
us,
a lion
dude.
In here, dude.
It's sprinting forward and is going to pick me up.
Jesus Christ. So I can't even injure it the second time.
Knock me over. No, you get to continue your other attack.
Okay.
In fact, I would have told you it would have ran on a failure. So.
Oh, so I wouldn't have chosen
yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. And now you're going to attack its maw.
We'll say you provoked an attack of opportunity.
4.
You hit it.
Hey.
You hit it. No critical or anything, but yes, you hit it. So he only has 3 health left. It dragged me away from you folks. Freddy, you're now not within distance.
So right now the lion has Matt in its claws halfway across the board again. I'm going to rejoin Anthony and Will and stand next to them.
All right. Let's see what the lion's going to do.
Uh-oh.
Pick target. It's obviously going after Will.
I wave my nuts at it again.
It's just going to do a basic claw attack.
For 2 damage.
For 2, no. For
if it
no.
hits me.
No, it's 3 damage
it Let's see it try.
Is it 3 damage
it's
now?
3 damage. Which either way, it would just, yeah, it's 3 damage. Because he's angry
oh,
from.
Oh, because he enraged.
Enraged, and he ripped his nuts off.
Oh. Ooh, one of the missed.
One miss, that's good.
Okay, that's
but
good.
But first, actually, I didn't roll for his, yes, yeah, so you're going to get hit once. Let me roll for his intestines. No. Will is going to hit you for 3 damage.
Okay.
Now, wait, you do have 1 dodge still.
Oh, I do.
A currency we have in this game is called survival, which we brought up because when we name our characters, we get 1 survival. Mm-hmm. Throughout the game, doing things will give us survival. Survival lets us essentially do special moves. Right now, our characters only have 1 special move because we are just naked babies who are just don't even know, can't
naked
speak yet.
Babies.
The one thing we can do is dodge, which is avoid all damage from 1 attack.
Okay.
So you can use that to stop you from dying.
I'm going
to
do it.
You're going to do it?
I'm going to do a flip in the air and go, ha ha, and dodge
nice.
Him.
All right, so we'll use his 1 dodge.
I've done a cool pirouette in the air. You know, like when you dodge an axe in like a Zack Snyder movie and it flies mm-hmm. over your head? It's like his claw just like right over my testicles.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Like,
it's just
I feel
a
like
close.
A backwards
that's all
he wants is your testicles.
Trims a pube.
Bro, a single pube just zing, and it flips around. Dude, yeah. And it lands in someone's food. I'll come around the back of it.
Do it.
And attack.
All right, let's do it. Punch him.
Punch him, dude.
Roll your 2 dice.
Rolling 2 dice to see if I hit. A crit and a 3, so I hit 1.
Ooh,
hit 1.
Ooh, nice. Another crit?
Not yet, not a crit, but just a successful hit.
Oh.
You're hitting the temple
where
it worships. Just socking it in the head.
In the head. Head punch.
So you need a 5.
A 5 or higher.
Because you don't have any bonus, right?
No.
Because you're not using your stone.
A
so, yes.
5 or higher, and I roll a 1.
Damn.
Damn it.
Uh-oh.
Failure is going to do a basic attack against you.
What?
Where you're behind it.
Yeah.
Creature turns around, waving its butt at Will. It hits twice.
So can I
dodge for one of them?
I'm a dodge for one of them. So the killing blow misses.
So here's barely. What you can do. You can roll 2 locations and then use a dodge of its head.
Okay, got it.
Use your dodge on the head one.
That is a head and the body. So I dodge the body.
No, dodge the head.
Sorry, dodge the head.
Because the head's almost
I
certainly.
Flip the punch.
Okay.
But then the rest of it, but
so
I slip it by putting my body
severe,
in the way.
So you instantly, you get your light damage and heavy damage, and the third one brings you all the way to severe.
Uh-oh.
Which means it's time to roll on the injury table.
So my body is gone.
So is your body that was hit?
Yes.
Okay, severe injury.
Okay, so I've been hit now severely. Now what?
So now we roll on the body table to see what your damage
is. Okay, so what do I roll? What
just
I
roll 1d10 and tell
1d10 on the
is.
Body table, and I've rolled a 10.
That doesn't seem like the one you
oh,
want
actually,
to
roll. Oh, actually, No. It's the other way around. A 1 or a 2 is instant death.
Oh, so okay. Shit.
There's a 1 in 5 chance that you instantly die. This is actually the best one. Bowled over. The blow sends you sprawling. You're knocked down. That's all.
Oh,
you just got knocked down.
Woo,
you're
freebie.
Lucky.
Got them pecs,
that's the
dog.
Best you could do.
Freebie.
I will attack with my dagger.
8 and a 6.
That is
one
hit.
You're going to attack its straining neck.
Missed.
God damn it.
No, no failure, luckily. No failure
okay.
State.
Woo.
So I would have stood up at the end of the turn he did it for me. You
okay.
are knocked down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At the end of the turn, you should pop it. So okay. I can move an attack.
Okay.
Okay, Matt moves in. We have now all surrounded the lion on all sides.
I will also use my teeth and my fists. I didn't hit.
I'm going to hit. I got a 9.
Woo! Two what? Hits.
Nines.
2 9s. All right. You're going to attack the beast's tricep and the fleshy gut. Let me check the failure, what you're going to do. I would say you should do the tricep first.
Why?
Because the failure for fleshy gut is swats back and can push you away.
Okay, then I will attack the tri.
So just do one die.
Hey, you hit him! Bam! I give him one of these.
Okay.
If you hit him with this next time, he's dead.
He has to be empty when you hit him.
Okay.
Oh, really?
He has two HP left.
Well, how, right. How is that possible? Because he can't do any
AI
moves.
He has a basic
moves.
Attack.
Almost. Oh, okay.
All right. I'm going to get that gut. Six.
His good. Toughness is... Oh, yeah, zero. You're right.
Boom!
Okay.
Ooh, yeah, brother.
The next hit, the lion is dead. It is the lion's turn. We're going to roll to see if it dies from its own intestines.
Oh, that would be great.
It does not.
Oh, I'm so close.
It is going to turn and attack Will, the man who took his testicles.
That's right. Bring it on, brother.
You've already used your dodge.
Feels like I would have sounded like Macho Man. They both hit. Savage the whole time.
Two hits
for three.
Ooh.
So he's going to take one
snap
final.
Snap into a Slim Jim.
Daddy Mama. So roll
slap
your,
into Daddy Mama.
Roll your location die to see where it's going to finish you off.
Two bodies.
Oh, two bodies. Shots.
Okay,
well, is that a good thing? Because it just goes all the other way?
No,
you gotta roll twice.
It's perfect.
Oh, you gotta roll twice. Okay,
roll 1d10.
One.
Oh, instant death! No! Daddy Mama is going down!
The bone sends a bone fragment directly into your heart, killing you instantly. Rip up that paper. Daddy
Ooh,
Mama.
Daddy Mama's down for the
daddy,
count. Oh, no!
Daddy Mama is dead.
Daddy Mama!
Okay.
Well, guys,
Mommy
this
Dada
was fun.
Looks at Daddy Mama and goes, Daddy Mama!
Well.
Again, we don't play individual characters. We play a whole
set of ripped up his character
ashes
sheet.
To ashes, dad to mom.
All right, I'm going to try and hit
we
him in the butt.
We could have both.
I got no one hits.
Six. No hits.
No hits.
Okay, we got to kill this thing. I missed. Two threes.
Step aside, boys. Let
Wait,
it reel.
Andy, you should throw your thing to do a critical wound. You can kill it at any moment.
Step aside, losers.
It's okay. We'll just don't die.
Step aside, losers. I'll show you how it's done. Spray roll in here. Bufo raises his mighty fists and rolls a 1 and a 10. One
Ooh.
Hit.
Okay. Hit location is the flank.
Okay.
Let's
Cat
see it.
Wound. Cats hate this. Monster's very upset.
Eight.
Oh,
eight.
You killed
no!
the lion. The
Daddy
lion.
Mama almost lived to the end of the fight.
Survivors are victorious. Collect your rewards by scavenging the monster's corpse. The survivors earn resources. This is in addition to any resources we earn from critical wounds.
Nice.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Dungeons & Dice is brought to you this week by Chime Ding Dong.
What? Who's there? Ding. Hello?
It's a,
help.
It's me, Beth, here to motivate you about budgeting
Beth,
your savings.
Where are you right now?
I don't
what do you
know.
Need?
Oh, it's so dark.
What did you hear on the way?
I heard a chime.
A chime?
Did that chime checking account tell you that you what you heard? You get features like fee-free overdraft up to $200 to spot me or getting paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit?
Yes, but I'm still so scared.
Did you drive past good customer service?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you drive past Chime allowing you to overdraft up to $200 with no fees?
That's true.
And let me ask you this. Did you drive past a financial institution without a sense of community? That's right.
Yeah.
And
there
where
are some
has
banks out there.
If that's the case, then that means Beth is definitely not heading towards Chime, which is a financial institution with a sense of community. 60,000 fee-free ATMs, no monthly fees or maintenance fees. To date, Chime has spotted members. This is their fee-free overdraft up to $200. They've spotted members over $20 billion.
Wait, what?
Well, I mean, you have to. The point is that when you have a direct deposit, you know. They know it's coming, so sometimes, you know, the timing for your bills and stuff gets weird,
okay.
You know?
Okay.
Eligible members get complimentary boosts to increase a friend's spot me limit, and when you give a boost, they can boost you back to raise your limit, just like in Mario Kart. Set up a direct deposit into your Chime account. After qualifying direct deposit of $200 or more, Chime will notify you to enroll in Spot Me. With an activated debit card, Chime will spot you up to your limit when you exceed your balance. Your next direct deposit is applied to your negative balance. Chime never charges fees or interest for using Spot Me. Take more control of your finances and say goodbye to monthly fees. Open your account in minutes at chime.com/daddies. That's chime.com/daddies. Chime. Feels like progress. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank NA or Stride Bank NA members FDIC. Spot Me eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Boosts are available to eligible Chime members enrolled in Spot Me and are subject to monthly limits. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details. Dungeons and Dads is brought to you this week by Pretty Litter. Springtime vibes in the air. When I got some flowers in the air as well, and it's nice to be able to smell the flowers and not cat poop. And I can do that thanks to Pretty Litter. Nothing beats Pretty Litter's ability to instantly trap odor. It's ultra absorbent, it's lightweight, low dust, 1 6-pound bag, works up to a month, and it's got the color-changing technology. Not just for cereals and novelty mugs when you're on vacation. Now your kitty litter will change color due to environmental circumstances. In this case, the pH level of your cat's piss, which can tell you things about potential illness in your cat, like urinary tract infections, kidney issues, and more. And if that wasn't enough, Pretty Litter ships free right to my door. I never run out because I can open my door and there's a big old bag of kitty litter right there. I don't have to lug it from my very far garage over to my place. I'll have to bring out my old grocery cart to move the Pretty Litter.
And you love that grocery cart. So this is extra convenient.
Extra convenient. Just a great low tracking and an interesting kitty litter, because most kitty litters, you don't get information by looking at it.
Yeah, that's
what Pretty Litter offers. Pretty Litter offers a visual experience to all who experience it. Pretty Litter is amazing. Although, to be fair, if you do see the crystals change color, like, you know, get, sorry, taking that cat to a vet.
Yeah, you don't, yeah, on. The Pretty Litter does not come with the vet that will fix your cat.
No, that's your job. That's your job as the cat owner. Pretty Litter, though, amazing. You gotta try it. Go to prettylitter.com/daddies to save 20% on your first order. That's prettylitter.com/daddies to save 20% on your first order. prettylitter.com/daddies. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
So we will draw 4 lion cards. Ooh, lion resource cards. Let's see what we got, gentlemen. 1, 2, 3, 4. We picked apart its cat bones, the eye, a perfectly preserved eye, the white fur, luxurious and soft to the touch, and another cat bone, which is strong and surprisingly light. Probably make swords with that. We will also gather 4 basic resources.
Just so everyone knows, there's so much stuff around this game that Matt has filled my entire kitchen, like, counter with more boxes of decks and cards and miniatures. So he's bringing over a whole deck about the width of a large pan pizza, I would say.
It is
an extra large pizza box.
A big Detroit style
pizza box, and it's just cards immaculately categorized with little tabs in between them, like the
all of them sleeved beautifully.
This is a game for perverts.
Yeah, it really truly is. Yeah, every
kind of
pervert.
A crunchy, I'll put this way, Poots is so serious. Well, now they do have an app, kind of, but he refuses to, like, make a companion app. He's like, I want this all pen and paper. Like, I want everything
so
to be physical.
Fucking sick.
Okay, so we got 4 basic resources. We got a broken lantern, some love juice. Love juice. Ooh, we can do this
from the balls.
Love juice from the balls. I like that thematically. We got love juice from his balls. During the settlement phase, you may archive this to intimacy. Nominate survivors, and they can consume it. So we can get
that's super important.
Sorry. We can get
they can
intimate.
Consummate it or consume it?
Consume.
Both. Your civilization has to learn how to fuck.
Yeah. Oh,
and we
yeah,
have love juice now, so now we can actually learn how to fuck.
Yes, very good.
That's how you get other characters in the game.
If you don't
learn how to have sex soon enough, you
so
die
wait
just
a second.
Like real life.
I'm out until one of you guys learns how to fuck
baby?
We're about to find some new survivors.
We're about to make a settlement.
Okay.
So that was the prologue. This says, turn the page to create our settlement. Place the settlement board in the play area, along with the gear and survivors we got. The survivors we have are called returning survivors. After the defeat of the White Lion, the survivors wander the darkness, drawn to a soft glow blooming in the horizon. This is the first story settlement phase, and we will create a settlement that we will return to in every settlement phase. So every time we attack and fight a monster, assuming we've survived,
we will
return to our settlement. We make a base! First thing we do upon this settlement is we will name it. Right now, it's just the 3 of us, so I think we all can have a say in naming it, except for Will, because he's dead.
Critical role?
Critical role. What's our settlement name?
No, I mean, look, I know I don't get a vote, but it's like fucking,
you vote.
We tore the lion's nads off,
mm-hmm.
And this is like our
like
home
the,
pod.
So,
okay. I think we call it the Nad Pod.
Shit.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Our right. settlement is Nad Pod.
All right, we're the
Nad Pod. That's the last thing Daddy Mama says to you before he dies. Is Nadpod
just DDD better and then you die?
So every time we return to a settlement that has a name, it gives us this ounce of hope and belonging. We gain
just
one
like
survivor.
Listening to Nadpod.
So we all gain one. If you're alive, Will's not. Each of those survivors gain one survival. So I didn't use any survival last game, so I have two survival now. Or I should say a mama daddy has two survival. So one of the things that happens in the settlement, and we'll find the best way to do this audially. Every time we come back to the settlement, we will slowly begin to build the city by creating essentially storefronts based off of all the resources we got from the animals. And that's where we construct our weapons. But most importantly is every time you come back to the settlement, there's usually what's called a story event, which is there's a big deck of cards. That's a bunch of different events that happen. Sometimes a year has a specific story that you need to take. Other times you just pull a random one. This being the first year, we are obviously going to pull the settlement event the first day.
The first day.
So we've drawn the first day settlement card. Anthony, why don't you read to us the first day?
The survivors wander, drawn to a blooming light in the distance. They find the serene comfort of a towering pile of lanterns and a small collection of scared people. On a deep instinctual level, they know this area is safe and they make it their home. Roll 1d10 to determine your starting population and record the result on the back of the settlement record sheet.
All right.
10!
Ooh, yes.
I'm back, baby.
So we have 10 unnamed survivors that we have to name and give genders to.
Mouths to feed.
Yep. Choose to record genders and names for the unnamed survivors.
Is it 10 including our three, or is it 10?
It's 10 unnamed survivors, so 10 including our three. So we have 13 people
okay,
now.
So let's write the names of everybody who's alive in this town. So right. First we got...
Rico, Chico.
Well, first we got Mama Daddy. Well, let's get the survivors first.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, hey, as someone who's dead, how about you fucking sit down here, Will?
What's your name? Oh, you're Beth. Freddy, you are
Bufo.
Bufo.
Hero of the hunt.
Okay, so
write that down.
Oh,
Bufo,
hero of the hunt.
Daddy Mama was the hero
your
of the hunt.
Your gender is
Bufo,
hero
comma,
of the hunt.
No, Bufo, comma, hero of
notes,
the hunt.
For notes, I'm just going to put hero of the hunt.
Thank you.
Helen of the hunt.
And Beth and Mommy Daddy are female. Yes, this game only has two genders, unfortunately, but we can tweak that. Population. Okay, 10. We add 10.
Mm-hmm. So we need 10 names?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
we can also hold off on naming them and then name them after people who comment
them,
on
let's
this.
Let's name them after
and
our...
And the Patreon.
Let's name them after
our... Oh, patrons. Okay, so we have 10 unnamed. We will meet them. Well, Will gets one.
I get one, right?
You can name one right now. Let's
yeah,
Will
gets
Will comes
one.
Back and...
We come back carrying Will's body.
Yeah, somebody goes, no, not Daddy Mama. Who is the person who is looking at Daddy Mama's corpse?
That would be Dr. Jess.
Dr. Jess.
Dr. G-E-S-S?
J-E-S-S. Yes,
G-E-S-S.
No, I think you're right. It's Dr. Jess, G-E-S-S.
Yeah, Matt.
Okay, Dr. Jess with a G, and then under notes I'm going to put pronounced.
Pronounced Jess.
Like Jif.
Like Jif? Oh, like Jif, yeah. Dr. Jess is all man.
All man. Okay, so yes.
Full man.
All machine.
All right, then you skip forward to the first survivors. Nominate a survivor to utter the first words.
That would be probably, I nominate
probably
myself.
Be Dr. Jess, I think.
Bufo, no, you weren't there.
Hero
were
of the hunt.
Fine, Bufo gets the first words.
Bufo.
What are Bufo's first words?
Here we start our shit. Hell yeah, my brethren.
I'm so glad Bufo got to talk. The nominated survivor. The nominated survivor steps forward and gains +1 courage.
So you fill that out on your paper sheet. If you get 3 courage points, you get to experience the bold storyline.
They lead the other survivors in learning to speak to one another. They discuss their situation, realizing they must hunt to live. Add the white line to the quarry list on the settlement record sheet. Your settlement gains the language innovation. Search the innovation cards for language and place its face up in your play area and record it on your settlement sheet.
And our language, it's Gen Z talk. Our language is no cap.
We speak no cap?
Yeah, we speak no cap.
Starting innovation, language, survival limit +1. So now we can have up to 2 survival. All survivors gain encourage survival action. So now instead of just dodging, you can encourage because we can speak to each other. Encourage once per round if standing. That means if you're not knocked down, you can spend 1 survival to call out to a non-deaf survivor because you can lose your hearing. They stand up if they're knocked down. So this is just a way to get people
stood up. You can encourage a deaf survivor. You can give them a thumbs up or something.
Well, in this game, the encourage
action. We haven't invented thumbs ups yet.
How dare you come around being like, yeah. Thumbs up means that. You know what I mean? It's like in those cultures when it's like the thumbs up means like, fuck you. The Italians.
So we update our death count. We did indeed lose 1. So... when things happen in the game, big events, you get to make some decisions.
Okay.
We have our first death. The group must decide what to do with our first survivor corpse. What do we do with the body of Daddy Mama? We can either choose the first harvest, which is the settlement decides to harvest the body for resources. The settlement will gain the death principle, cannibalize. Or we can decide to build a small monument to mark their loss.
Boring.
A small monument?
Yeah, and then we gain graves.
Graves.
Boo!
We're cannibalizing?
This is the easiest decision I've ever in my life. We're absolutely eating this corpse.
Okay. There's a reason the picture on the opposite page has people eating a corpse. They know what you're going to choose.
That's true. There's one page that's like all the words and the text, and the page to the left is a big full screen picture, and it's just a bunch of people eating this dead corpse.
We have to roll a D10.
Right now,
to determine what we're going to do with Mama Daddy's corpse.
And I, the yes, dead you, body, the dead roll body.
Yes. Yeah. Will rolls us.
A nine.
Nine.
None ate a survivor.
Me.
No, not no, a survivor. No.
Oh, Mama Daddy's going to do whatever it is to Daddy Mama's corpse.
Okay. So Mama Daddy frantically tears the corpse open and deeply drinks of its blood. They decide that for every new creature they eat, they will become stronger. Daddy Mama, the living one, gains one permanent speed.
Yes! I'm faster because of you, dog.
Yep.
Thanks.
Daddy Mama lives on.
Isn't speed also like the attack thing?
Yeah, speed is how many dice I roll when I attack.
Which is super fucking strong. It's insanely strong.
Seems like there are no downsides to eating corpses.
No, absolutely not. This is good as hell.
Something we also have to do is we have to choose a survivor to look into the lantern horde and ponder the meaning of life while the next group goes out on the hunt.
Okay.
Oh, someone's got to ponder the orb, dude?
Yeah, somebody ponders the orb and is not allowed to go on the next hunt.
It has to be someone who went on the last hunt.
Yeah, so I guess that probably leaves me in terms of people who've done special things.
What about
Freddy's all jacked up.
Bufo, hero of the hunt.
Bufo can...
would ponder the orb.
Bufo comes back home, screams, let's fuck, and then stares at an orb for 2 hours straight.
Dog.
In which case, I think Freddy should make another survivor for who he will be taking out next turn, so that way we'll have another name.
Son of Bufo!
What a coincidence.
Now, we haven't fucked yet, so this is just something.
A guy named himself that.
Son of Bufo.
Son of Bufo.
Son of Bufo.
It's S-O-N-U-V. Son of Bufo. S-U-N-U-V-B-O-O-F-O.
Okay.
Son of Bufo.
Male or female?
Female.
Any notes?
Really mix it up.
Strong.
Strong.
Confident.
Powerful.
Can balance their work life and their personal life with no difficulty.
Powerful.
Strong and powerful.
Okay.
Thank you, Matt.
You're welcome. Okay, we updated a death count. We checked the milestones. We did that. Develop. Oh, but before we do that, I have added just a slight spattering of expansions because I have so many. I wanted to at least use some of them. I added Gorm. Gorm is one of my favorite miniatures, so I can't wait to paint it for this, which is just a giant baby with hippopotamus feet. And it has a huge mouth that looks like a fucking like anglerfish and thousands of hands coming out of it. It's very terrifying. When we add Gorm, we must add the approaching storm.
The Gorm first storm.
This is like so close to what I imagined. Like, was it the Cones of Dunsmuir or whatever?
Yeah. The Cones of Dunsher.
It's all
about the Gorms.
As the son of Bufo stands up and says, I will join the next hunt. They're suddenly.
So it's not as the son, it's as son of Bufo. Yeah, thank you.
Stands up and says, I will join the next hunt. And also adds the phrasing, let's fuck, because we just all assume that's just how you end sentences.
Let's fuck.
Those were the first words we heard. The weather takes a turn for the worse. A light appears on the horizon. From its origin, roiling masses of storm clouds approach the settlement, soaking everything in perpetual sheets of stale smelling rain. Sudden flash floods. Burning winds
I
and periods.
I soaked the sheets in stale smelling rain last night.
God.
Wet my bed.
Periods of strobing lightning continuously.
Be warned that this podcast may have scenes of strobing.
The settlement.
Shut the fuck up.
Leaving the survivors in epileptic fits. You may now hunt Gorm. Add it to the query list on the settlement sheet so we can go after the white lion.
So we saw some
Gorm.
Lightning and we're like, hey, we should fight this guy.
Some lightning and we're like, we should now hunt Gorm.
Yep. Well, we add the Gorm because we like smell it. We add the Gorm climate to the next lantern year. So next lantern
global
year.
Global Gorming.
Nominate a survivor.
Beth. Make it Beth.
They gain plus one insanity.
Great. Insanity is good in this game.
Yeah, actually, what kind of a fun thing with this is that insanity is essentially, so you have armor for all your parts of your body. Obviously, you can't put armor on your brain. What acts as armor on your brain is insanity. So more insanity you have, you're actually more able to like
weather the horrors
of this world. However, if you do get too much brain armor, you become truly insane, which then something happens. So nominate the survivor. They gain plus one insanity and brave the storm. Anthony, Have Beth roll a D10.
3.
The survivor stands in the torrent. Pulsing psychedelic lights strike them, bringing them to their knees. In a flash of morbid inspiration, the nominated survivor takes a stone to their own eyes.
Whoa!
They suffer the blind severe head injury.
Holy shit.
But gain +1 permanent speed.
Woo!
So you're blind, but you can swing better. Like, you're stronger.
Wow.
That's fucking cool. I'm Zatoichi.
Zatoichi, dog.
Yeah, you're essentially Zatoichi.
What does blind do?
And it's at both eyes.
I think so. There's two boxes. I think one for each eye.
You lose 1 accuracy. Better to have speed than accuracy. So you lose 1 permanent accuracy.
So I have to roll 1 higher to do initially damage them.
Yes.
To hit them, not to
damage
them. But
you have more dice.
Yeah, fine.
If you have 2 blind severe injuries, you do -4 permanent accuracy.
Yeah. It says I'm blind, so it sounds like -4 is probably what I have.
No. It's, you have to get blind twice.
Oh, okay.
So it's one eye.
One eye.
Just the one eye. Good to
just
know.
Just one eye. You just cool. Don't cry cool your as eye. Hell. And you're like, you smelt the air and you go, Gorm. Let's fuck. Develop.
Dungeons and Dice is brought to you this week by KiwiCo. It's time.
KiwiCo.
It's summertime. You ever do outdoor stuff in the summer? I would ride bikes.
No, I've never gone outside.
You've never gone? Not in Phoenix.
Yeah.
Did you bike ride when you were like out in the summer, or would you just bake?
So when I was in Tucson, when I was like bike riding age, and yeah, we would just bake alive. The asphalt was so hot. And then by the time I was in Phoenix, I was in college, you know, who rides bikes? I do, to get to class and to get to other places. And it was very hot. Yes.
So
okay.
KiwiCo is inviting kids and kids at heart to enjoy their first ever summer adventure series.
Ooh.
Kids from 2 years old to teens can receive 6 hands-on science and art project kits over 6 weeks with enriching content and fun activities to accompany each project. They have something for everyone, and they offer different topics for each age, whether your child wants to explore space,
hell,
or learn
yeah
about dinosaurs,
yes,
or learn about how dinosaurs were killed by an object from space.
Oh my God.
Whoa.
I do have to say, looking at the KiwiCo website, there is a physics project for kids aged 5 and up. That is pinball? Are you freaking kidding me?
Oh, look at this marble roller coaster.
KiwiCo encourages kids to get outside, explore, and to stay off their screens. Awesome projects from the Summer Adventure Series, like the Bottle Rocket Kit, where you build an actual bottle rocket, but not the kind that you light with a lighter, help to turn the outdoors into a playground of learning and fun. And Matt is the parent in the room here.
Yeah.
Keeping your kid busy and creatively challenged.
Constant struggle.
Yeah.
Especially if you're trying to avoid those screens. Then you got it.
That's
gotta,
the problem is that screens made them.
Oh my God.
Really
screens
easy
make it
way
so easy, but you want to avoid those screens. So you got to come up with fun stuff to do, activities. Well, and like, look, you got a whole range, but you know how like you think you're prepared and you've got like a whole list of things. You're like, these activities, this is going to last until my kid's in college.
No.
You run out of them by like age 4.
KiwiCo
does
like,
I already
like,
done all the marshmallows with toothpicks and all the like make your own water. But I've done all these things.
KiwiCo's doing that legwork for you, so you can spend quality time just tackling the projects together. Oh, it must be nice, Matt, to be able to do these and just be like, I don't have to think. I can just play with
it.
Convenient and personalized, you'll receive either all your summer adventure crates at once or weekly for 6 weeks. Build the best summer ever with KiwiCo. Get 20% off on your summer adventure series at KiwiCo.com/summerdaddies. That's the best code we've gotten
That's
so
really
far.
Good.
20% off your summer adventure at Kiwi, KiwiCo.com/summerdaddies. One word, summer daddies.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
During this step, the survivors spend their endeavors to craft gear and join activities. When the settlement starts out, they can build their endeavors at the Lantern Horde to build new settlement locations. When endeavor is spent, reduce the endeavors by 1. If you can, spend 3 endeavors to build the Bonesmith, Organ Grinder, and Skinnery settlement locations. We do have 3 endeavors because we got them per person. So I think we should just do what they said. So we are going to build the Bonesmith.
Bonesmith.
The Bonesmith. We will build...
Not a good Doctor Who.
What?
Yeah, Matt Smith.
Oh, Bonesmith.
Wow.
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 We thought the Selman phase was going to be boring. And the Organ Grinder. So essentially,
the bonesmith and the organ grinder.
Yeah, well, the bonesmith's for bones. So the organ grinder's for the organs, Will.
So we have us in our settlement now. We have the bonesmith, the skinnery, and the organ grinder, which allows us to get weapons, build weapons, and spend the resources we get on the hunt.
We can also learn how to fuck if we want to.
For useful tools.
Oh, we can?
Ooh, yep. Perhaps this
is
episode
a time to learn the ancient ways.
In a little bit of tender lovemaking.
Okay. So as we've begun building the organ grinder, the skinnery, and the bonesmith, Freddy, you're saying Bufo would like to consume the love juice.
Bufo, while staring at the orb, is looking for a frothy draft to quench his
All
thirst.
All those orb ponderings made me thirsty.
Yeah. So Bufo consumes the love juice.
Okay.
Unwittingly. I was saving that for later, someone says.
Can
from the settlement.
You
for today, I guarantee it.
The love juice tonight.
So you must nominate. I guess it's only fair that Bufo can nominate which survivor.
Well, Matt's found the page called Intimacy.
Nominate
which
one.
Which has a very cute illustration on the other side, just two people cuddling.
It says nominate one consenting male or female. I think we can just do just any consenting people.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nominate one consenting survivor, Freddie.
Who consents?
None of us!
I'm not having Beth consent.
Mommy, Daddy would like to have sex with son of Bufo.
All right, you two have at it.
Son of Bufo.
I'll tell you what to do. I drink the love juice.
Check this out. I got this crazy idea.
No, Freddy. Mommy, Daddy will consent.
No, but he's
Bufo is doing it.
Yeah,
Bufo. Oh, Bufo drank the juice and he will get the fruits of the labor. Bufo stares
Mommy, Daddy.
Daddy
not interested
eye.
In Bufo as a person, but deciding that for Nita's survival, looking at how we already lost one survivor and we only have 10 others, says sure.
Bufo thinks, and Bufo thinks that like the game of being like, have you seen this sick orb I have? He's like, it looks like I'm a real
5 minutes into pondering the orb and he looks at you like this.
All right, Freddy, I'll let you
ponder and chill.
I will let you roll an intimacy table to see how you do.
I'm rolling a D10.
Yep.
To see how I do on the 7.
Hey! The settlement gains one population. The male and female survivors share a deep bond and gain plus 10 survival each.
What?
Now our max,
you,
our
max is two.
Sex once?
Have you ever had sex once?
When I lost my virginity, I became bulletproof.
Our max survival is only 2. So we just essentially maxes out your survival more or less. Oh man, if we had the settlement innovation bed, we gain plus 1 permanent strength after having sex, but we don't have beds yet. We just did it on the fucking
on
stone
faces. On these stone
faces,
dude.
His nose is digging in my hip.
The first time your settlement gives birth to a new survivor, gain 1 population. Oh, I think we can name this one, Freddy.
All right, yeah,
what's our child's name?
All right.
Wait, Mama Bufo.
Okay, no, right? 3, 2, 1.
Mama
Son
Bufo.
Of Bufo 2.
Son of Bufo.
You know what it is?
Bufo Jr.
Mama Bufo Jr.
Mama Bufo Jr. In Italian. Mama Bufo
Jr.
That sounds like that sounds like, you know what I mean? That's like Mufaletta. Mama Bufo. You know what I mean?
Bufo de Beppo. What about
Bufo
that?
Bufo de Beppo.
Bufo de Beppo.
Bufo de Beppo. Bufo de Beppo.
No, it's nickname? Bufo de Beppo.
No. Name. Bufo de Beppo.
Bufo de Beppo.
Okay. Our child's name is Bufo de Beppo.
This is how Matt named Dorothy.
No, Dorothy!
All right.
Now the new principal of life.
Life.
Let us see.
Wait, Dang, do you so do inspiring. The fucking Lion King with Bufo de Beppo? To
oh,
the
yeah,
rest
yeah,
of
yeah.
The
well, let's see. The group must choose how we raise their young.
Oh, okay.
Ooh.
Without mercy, the toys are taken from the child and replaced
oh,
with
no!
cold stone face shard. Training begins immediately.
Oh, shit.
With affection, the settlement embraces the child with warm arms. Nurturing new life is their highest calling.
Do we want to be Sparta or not Sparta?
I want to be not Sparta.
I think the parents get to determine it.
What do you think, Matt?
Well, Bufo, honey, when I look at this baby, all I can see is you. That makes me really angry. No, we can do with affection.
With affection,
we're eating. I like being affectionate cannibals.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
We're complicated people.
We're so complicated.
I say with affection.
So we got protect the young. This is just being cynical, because the more they love their parents and the more they'll listen to us, the more we can
children
sacrifice
are the future.
Them. Freddy.
Yes.
Roll a D10 for me.
I roll a D10 to determine something. 7. Another 7.
The children is raised by the entire settlement and endowed with
Bro,
the
it takes
hopes
a village and endowed.
And the wisdom of all the newborn survivor gains +2 understanding and the strategist fighting art. We are making smart children.
Yes.
Smart warrior children. Smart warrior
children.
Freddie, fill out the character sheet of our child.
You got it. This is like the birth certificate.
That's what they don't tell you in Lamaze class.
So yeah, that's a lot about stats.
Well, you got to make your new character.
Dr. Jess.
Here you go. Go fill out Dr. Jess. They don't have anything special.
Bufo de Beppo.
So I just need to write Dr. Jess on this piece of paper.
Yes.
And then I've survival of
done it.
One. Survival of one.
Survival of one. I'm going to call a retcon here and say that Dr. Jess is our first non-binary survivor.
Okay. Let's see what we can actually make here.
Bufo, hero of the hunt, allows these underlings to do their whatever the fuck they're doing.
From these are like tech trees. Next time we can use endeavors to build like the leather worker or the weapon crafter.
The bullet farmer.
We need armor. We need weapons.
We need weapons more than anything because you have no weapons.
Yeah, we need some weps.
Here are the weapons we can purchase for the Bonesmith and then with Skinnery.
Oh, there's a delightful little shopping list here.
Matt has sleeved a bunch of extra cards. These are about 3 inches by 3 inches, and they are weapon-like cards.
What is the fucking channel where they sell all the stuff online?
QVC.
QVC. So, yeah, this is like QVC for fucking bone weapons. We have a lovely bone pickaxe today. Now, look at the beautiful, beautiful stats on this. It's a 1, 8+2. There's also the bone sickle, the bone axe, the bone blade, the bone club, the bone dagger, bone darts, and the skull helm.
Ooh.
Now, I love a skull helm because I already have a skull, and I've always thought, what if I had an extra?
What if I had two skulls? You know? Yeah.
So we have 3 bones. So Anthony still has his.
I still got my.
Or Beth still has
my
her
founding stone.
So I feel like it would be fair for each of us. And also, like, Freddie and I did literally, like, add to the population.
Bufo was, in fact, the hero of the hunt. Yeah. So.
So I think we can each get Bufo and, say the full and name. Mama, Daddy.
Sorry,
and
say the full name.
Bufo, legend of
hero
the
of the hunt. Thank you.
My husband.
We are the most insufferable couple.
Okay. We're going to spend these 3 bones to buy some weapons.
All right.
So essentially for 1 bone each, we can get a dagger, a blade, or a dart.
You can also get an axe because you got a lot of organs.
Ooh, yeah, I'm going to buy an axe with an organ. Sorry, I'm taking it. I birthed a child. I get fucking.
That's true. That's fair. Dr. Jess needs a weapon to operate with. So Dr. Jess is going to take a bone dagger.
Ooh, okay.
The scalpel.
I'll take the bone blade.
Mix it up. We got 3 hides. If you would like to get some clothing. And I think Beth gets a...
Yeah, Beth gets a vest.
Okay, you're going to get a vest?
Yeah.
We can do 2 more vests or gloves or whatever. I think we should get 2 headbands.
Headbands?
Because yeah. They protect the head.
I'll take a headband.
I'll look at Bufo, be like, you decide. Would you like to take the headband or would you like your wife to take the headband?
Oh, dear. You may have the headband. I need not such trifling things, for my head is full of knowledge from the orb. It is veritably burgeoning from orb-based knowledge. I'm fucking good, dog.
Okay.
Dr. Jess's headband takes the form of like a surgery mask.
Oh, very good.
Very cool. No, the only thing here is stone faces and lanterns, William. There is no humor
in a
world of kingdom death. Have we discovered viruses
jokes?
And bacteria? Have we discovered PPEs? No, protective.
Yeah. PPs?
Yeah.
We have discovered PPs. They're called ding-dongs in this world.
The organ things, we can also get stuff.
Ooh.
So we can get a fecal salve, which is scraping some of the poop from the monster. It is item, bomb, and stinky are its names, or its whatever code words.
Attributes.
Keywords, that's the word. When you depart, you gain +1 survival. And you can use an action to make it so you're not a threat. Like you're putting the monster poop on you so they don't smell you. So we can do that.
Camouflage.
Let's do that.
Let's do that.
Let's get some shit.
We want some.
Or just really quick, or you can get the monster grease. We can either do 2 fecal salves or 1 monster grease. Monster grease gains 1 evasion.
What is evasion? You can grease yourself up to slip
evasion
out of the monster.
Evasion is minus accuracy on the monster.
I think that poop is better.
I want 2 poops.
2 poops.
We only have 2. Okay, 2 poops. You guys spoke. You can get a poop.
I'll take a poop.
And Beth can get the other poop.
Beth takes a poop as well.
Beth gets a poop and a vest. What a day for Beth.
All right, so we bought a bunch of new gear. So now the settlement decides what quarry.
I want to fuck with the Gorm.
I want to fight the Gorm.
We must fight the Gorm!
I say we fight Gorm!
So we choose the 4 survivors that go.
Bufo, hero of... Wait, I can't go.
You can't go. You're pondering the orb.
Bufo de Beppo! Go look at
Bufo de Beppo's a baby. Surely Bufo de Beppo can't go.
No, you can
Mama, Daddy, who believes in, as we've decided, protecting the young, decides that the safest place is to be at her side, grabs Buffo di Beppo and puts her on her back, like piggyback ride, and looks at her husband, I guess, and goes...
He's not looking. He's looking at the orb.
Not now, babe. The orb's on.
Not now, Buffo, babe. Orb.
Buffo, legend of the hunt.
Sorry, hero of the hunt.
Hero of the hunt, my dear. Me and your son shall go consume.
Whoa. Whatever, looking at the orb.
Paging Dr. Jess to the hunt. Mm-hmm. Dr. Jess is going to go on the hunt as well.
Okay.
Beth will also go.
Oh, no. No epic words to sign us out of this episode.
Okay, so Beth goes... Damn.
Next time, we shall fight the Gorm.
Dungeons and Dags is Matt Arnold, Anthony Birch, Will Campos, Beth May, and myself, Freddie Wong. Brian Fernandez is our content producer. Ashley Nicolette is our community manager. Courtney Terry is our community coordinator. Cindy Denton is our merch manager. Esther Else is our lead editor. Travis Reeves provides additional editing. And Robin Rapp is our transcriber. Support independent creators like us directly and hear episode 2 and 3 of Kingdom Dad Monster and much more on our Patreon at patreon.com/dungeonsanddads. And if you're in the U.S., come join us this summer on our live tour, Dungeons and Daddies, the Areas Tour, feat Taylor Swift. No music venue. We'll put that on the marquee, but you know, and we know, that's the official name of the tour. We got dates and locations all up and down the East Coast and in the Midwest on our website, dungeonsanddaddies.com. Check it out. Tickets available now. Merch and stuff is at store.dungeonsanddaddies.com. Season 3, The Peachyville Horror, DM'd by the man, the myth, the legend, Will Campos himself, is coming at you in just 2 short weeks, May 7th. Mark your calendars. We'll see you then.